He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, and futures are up 22 points. So one of those split kind of days, NASDAQ up, Dow down. In the meantime, S&P futures about flat right now. Russell 2000 futures down 3 points. Crude oil down 18 cents as it watches Hurricane Laura. In the Gulf of Mexico, crude oil is at $43.17. Gold down $9.30. Clear down to 1913. We were over 2,000, but the shine has come off gold here over the last week and a half or so. Silver up 7 cents to $26.34. And the bond market today, well, we got a little bit of a sell-off taking place in the bond market with rates going up to 0.72%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we've got a lot happening in the market today. Let's go back to yesterday, however. There were some noticeable movers in the market that I want to bring to your attention. Yesterday, it was a late rally in the market, and the S&P was up 0.4%. The NASDAQ, however, was up 0.8%. But with those stocks getting kicked out of the Dow, Exxon, Pfizer, and Raytheon, okay, those stocks sold off yesterday. It's not good to get kicked out of the Dow. And so that hurt the Dow yesterday. Facebook helped the market quite a bit yesterday, especially in the late innings there. They're moving more and more into Amazon and Shopify's turf. They want to get into the shopping business, which has been red hot, obviously, here, especially this year with the pandemic and people staying at home and ordering from their couch or their office chairs. And that really sent Facebook up higher. And another stock that I want to talk about here in a bit, a recent IPO that is a competitor to Shopify. That thing had a huge day yesterday, and Shopify's having a pretty good morning here this morning. Now, we've had global markets overnight. You know what? Not much happening there. But I want to talk about some of the movers here from yesterday. Let's begin with Big C, B-I-G-C. That's Big Commerce. That was a noticeable mover yesterday. Here's the rub, however. Oh, my gosh, look at that thing. Big Commerce came public at $24 a share about a month ago. $24 a share. And 1 month later, it's $104 per share. And here's the problem. They don't really have much in the way of sales yet. Their annual sales, about $100 million. And this is already a $7 billion market cap company, so it's trading at 7 sales. This is the second company to go public with the Shopify model. which is an online mall. And Shopify has been a huge winner in the market. Big Commerce was up 24% yesterday. Not sure why. Well, yeah, I do have some news on it here a little bit later in the show. But that was one that certainly caught my eye yesterday. Big C, B-I-G-C. Another company trying to get in on the act is Wix.com. You know, they're a web development company. They create your own website, this and that. But they're all trying to get into this mall retail business. Wix had a good day yesterday, W-I-X. Now, this is what I wrote down during my travels through the market yesterday. A few others here that caught my eye. Wix, JD.com. Well, you know what? Another online retailer, this one in China. Look at the chart on JD. Now, we own JD.com. That's one of our biggest positions. And in that sector, the retail internet sector, it's ranked number two. There's 197 stocks in that sector, JD. It's ranked number two. Look at the chart. Up to new highs yesterday, $79 per share. And while we're talking about JD, Alibaba had a monster day yesterday. You know, Alibaba, for the longest time, was just mired in the muck in the 230, 220, 215 area. Couldn't get out of its own way. And then finally had a catalyst in early July. I think it was their earnings. And now Alibaba breaks it with a vengeance yesterday. Of course, that's China's answer to Amazon. And in addition to that, Alibaba owns 30% of Ant Financial, which is kind of their PayPal, Square type of company. They're going to take that company public. So if that thing burst out of the gate on its IPO, Ant Financial, obviously that helps JD or Alibaba, which owns 30% of Ant Financial. That stock obviously caught my eye big time yesterday. Adobe had a big day yesterday. In fact, kind of sell-off in the momentum stocks. That lasted about 3 days, you know, enough for some concern and for some increased vigilance on these stocks. Boy, I'll tell you what, the momentum stocks picked up again yesterday where they left off. Adobe breaking up to a new all-time high yesterday. Another Chinese stock, NetEase, N-P-E-S, a massive yesterday. Why don't we mention breakouts? Well, in simple terms, I've said this many times, a stock chart is in one of four conditions. It's a sideways trend. This is you swoop your eyes kind of. What is the overall trend over the last 7 months? Sideways, that's number one. Number two, kind of topping out after a run up, that's a three. And then, of course, the downtrend is number four. Well, a new uptrend begins with a breakout, right? You've got a sideways trend, and all of a sudden you've got a breakout out of that sideways trend. That occurred in Alibaba in early July. Then you have another breakout in Alibaba here recently. And that's why I mentioned these breakouts, because that could be the beginning of a new major upleg. So I really watch for breakouts. That's a catalyst. I had a guy write to me, Gunderson, can you let us know about stocks before they break out? Well, doggone it, if I had a crystal ball that told me about a stock before it was going to break out, I do send out tweets once in a while that'll say, you know, this stock looks like an imminent breakout. That's kind of rare. More often than not, actually wait for that breakout because that's a new catalyst coming into the equation. So anyways, NetEase caught my eye yesterday. I would also say the Chinese stocks in general were good yesterday. I think that's probably because of renewed discussions between the Trump administration and Chinese officials. And the solar stocks also caught my eye yesterday. They seem to be having new life and doing very, very well. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. Hurricane Laura, durable good, corona vaccine, saliva test, new companies there, and the impact on earnings in a possible presidency change. J.P. Morgan weighing in on that. This is the most important story to listen for, that J.P. Morgan story. That's coming up. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now radio. Hopefully we get a little bit of sun. Maybe Hurricane Laura messing up the internet already. We don't know. But we're all rebooted here, fresh. Hopefully we go forward from here. You know, the internet is a, there's a few days where it can be a little dodgy. Okay, let's take a look. Where did we leave off here? We've got futures up 26 right now. I like those NASDAQ futures up 42, so we're gathering a little bit of steam. The durable goods orders did come in this morning, better than expected. So for all of you who bought a durable good in July, thank you. July durable goods up 11.2%, 4.3% was expected. All right, good news there. Now, Hurricane Laura is a problem. Out there in the Gulf of Mexico, it shuts 84% of the oil output in the Gulf, threatens $18 billion in damages. More than a half a million people have been ordered to evacuate the U.S. Gulf Coast, set to come ashore tonight in Texas and Louisiana. Looks like Port Arthur, Texas, home of Janis Joplin, is about where that's going to come ashore. I know what it's like to be evacuated. We had one here about a month ago. Didn't lead to evacuations, but almost. It's a little bit different thing living in the South and living in California. In California, we have cops coming down the street, police officers with their bullhorns. Get out. The fire's coming over the hill. It's coming. And, of course, every 6-8 weeks, you feel a little shaker, you know, and you're building sways downtown. That's always scary. But out here, we were eating dinner the other night, and all of a sudden emergency alarms went off on our TV and our telephone. It was a tornado watch. Hunker down. Shelter in place. Hey, I'm glad it wasn't during the radio show. That's all I can say. Coronavirus vaccine makers, they want the European Union to give them liability protections. Well, you know what? This is a big sticking point. You race for the vaccine, you come up with something, and someone dies from it, and pretty soon you're watching TV commercials from the law firm of Goldberg, Jensen, and Jensen saying, did you die from coronavirus vaccine? You know, so this is an issue. It's definitely an issue. I mean, especially when you're speeding this up and going as fast as you can trying to come up with a vaccine. They want liability protection or no vaccine. So we'll see where that goes. In the meantime, FDA okays emergency use of Fluidigm, saliva-based COVID-19 test. You know what? I haven't had the need to go in and get a COVID-19 test, but I've watched people on TV. Sticking that thing up your nose doesn't look like any fun. They call that the brain tickler. I think the saliva-based one sounds better to me. Hopefully I won't have to get one. But Fluidigm had a very good day yesterday, FLDM, on their test. Okay, last week was the Democrat National Convention. This week is the RNC Republican National Convention. And one of the biggest issues for the stock market, and I've been highlighting this in my newsletter, it's not a Republican equation, it's not a Democrat equation, it's a mathematical equation. President Trump lowered the corporate tax rate from 28% to 21%. and that led to an increase of 20% in earnings that year for the S&P 500. Joe Biden, candidate Joe Biden, has said that he will reverse the Trump tax cut for corporate America, take it back up to 28%. That's the Biden administration's proposal, to take the corporate tax rate back up to 28%. Now, J.P. Morgan is weighing in on this today. I've been weighing in on it for the last month. They say the times may be a changing. Tribute to Bob Dylan there. The firm notes, and so might corporate and personal tax rates. Not only the times are changing, but corporate and personal tax rates, with negative implications for covered companies if corporate rates rise. Now, if you're 100% do your business in the U.S., you're going to be hit the hardest. Companies that have a lot of business overseas will be hit just on their U.S. part of business, because around the world, most corporations that do business overseas, they pay a lot less. And that was part of Trump's effort, was to make us more competitive on the world stage as it relates to the corporate tax rate. So the more exposure you have overseas, the less you'll be hit. If you're 100% in the U.S., you'll be hit pretty hard. But I just say that it's a logical equation that the tax cut added 20% to S&P 500 earnings. Taking the taxes back up will take 20%. That's just logic. We'll take 20% off of S&P 500 earnings. So if you're talking about about $185 per share is the expectations right now. That's for 2022. Next year, the expectations are for about $165 per share. You take 20% off of that, and that's a significant number. In fact, it's somewhere around $35 per share. At a 20 multiple, that would take 700 points off the S&P 500. And off the Dow, it would take about 6,000 points. So, like I say, it's not a Democrat equation. It's not a Republican equation. It's a stock market equation. It's a mathematical equation. J.P. Morgan weighing in, saying pretty much the same thing, although in a lot wordier way. And they also add that the impact would not be as great, obviously, on companies that do a lot of business overseas. But we're just looking as a whole. What would it do to the S&P 500? I have used S&P 500 earnings as my guiding star over the last 15 years. And that's why I have been right about the market every single year. And I don't see why we won't take a hit in the market if those corporate tax rates go back up. But that's still a possibility, okay? But we have to weigh that possibility in our mind as money managers, and what impact that might have on our clients' portfolios. That's why I am unconstrained. I can put in inverse funds. It could be a quick 20% hit, you know, the week after the election or the day after the election. We'll just have to wait and see. Okay, BigCommerce. More on that story. They're a competitor to Shopify. They announced the availability of checkout on Instagram for eligible U.S. merchants. This is the reason why the stock was up 25% yesterday. E-commerce is here. E-commerce is here to stay. You're going to be able to buy just about every platform at some point in time, but there will be very few that will dominate this space going forward. BigCommerce, when we come back, I want to talk just a little bit more about it. And they're checking out, being able to check out on Instagram. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We'll be right back.
Call out the instigator.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Our Dow is now open. It's not future anymore. The future is now. The Dow is down 30 points to 28,213. S&P up 4 points to 3447. NASDAQ jumps out of the gate up 62 points. So there you go. You've got another day. NASDAQ up, Dow down. And that's a pretty good start to a new day. Back to Big Commerce. We'll finish this subject. The CEO of Big Commerce, BIGC, I do not own this stock. It's just too hot to handle right now. I mean, it's quadrupled since going public. The CEO says the rollout of checkout on Instagram is another significant step in Instagram's evolution toward becoming an essential commerce channel for customer-focused brands. All right, buying on Instagram. Another IPO that I'm going to keep my eye on, I talked about this yesterday, Google is investing in a company by the name of Amwell, which is a telehealth company. Telehealth is a burgeoning sector in our economy right now. I think you're going to see it continue to grow exponentially. Telehealth has now filed for a $100 million IPO after getting a $100 million investment from Google. So we'll watch for that one. I keep a list of pending IPOs when they go public. I add them to the Best Stocks Now app. The symbol is AMWL right now. There is not a stock by that name, but there will be. And we'll keep our eye on Amwell, okay, going forward. Catch this. Tesla catches new street high price target from Jefferies. Okay. There was someone out there. I want to say J.P. Morgan that had a price target of like $60 on Tesla, something like that. Well, Tesla's 2,000 now, okay? So Jefferies is getting in on the act. I like these guys that raise their target prices after the fact. It gets to 2,000. What do? They raise their target price to 2,000. How does that work? That's like the weatherman saying, yeah, it's going to rain yesterday. But anyways, they're raising their target price on Tesla to 2,500. Jefferies from 1,200. From 1,200 to 2,000, that is the street high now. And it just seems like these analysts, they come along, they raise their target prices, and everybody says, well, they must be right. We better run it up to the new target price. You know, I just got to say, it makes no sense whatsoever at the valuation it's currently at. But who's counting? It's worth 2,500 now, says Jefferies. Bed Bath and Beyond. Talk about two sides of the street. The good side of the street, the bad side of the street. Bed Bath and Beyond is on the bad side of the street. They're going to cut 2,800 jobs in restructuring. Why do you think they're struggling? Well, I would say two things. Number one, COVID. And number two, being able to buy on Instagram. Okay, being able to buy on Facebook. Being able to buy on Shopify, being able to buy on Alibaba, being able to buy on Amazon, and it goes on, JD.com, it goes on and on and on as the disruption of the bricks and mortar, brick by brick, piece by piece, continues. Palantir, that's another one we're going to keep our eye on. They're filing for a direct listing. Palantir, kind of a controversial company. It's a data analytics company who collects data, well, Facebook, Google, etc. Palantir is kind of a dark and secretive type company, but it's expected to be a very big IPO. In fact, the company is hoping for a valuation of $26 billion out of the gate. That will be the symbol PLTR, I've got that one written down. We'll keep our eye on Palantir, which is a data analytics company. All right, another pending IPO. The cloud stocks, big day yesterday. Why? Well, they're going to have another big day today, it looks like, and I'll tell you why. Number one, you had a cloud stock go into the Dow. That's right, Salesforce. Talk about disruption. Salesforce, a major disruptor. This is a software that helps you in your sales efforts, and now it's a member of the Dow. How important is it as a company? CRM, customer relation management, now a member of the Dow, and of course that lifted Workday, Twilio, VMware, NetApp, ServiceNow, Adobe. These are all cloud stocks. And there is also a couple. There's two ETFs that are cloud stocks. Sky, S-K-Y-Y, and WCLD. WCLD are the two ETFs made up of cloud stocks. They were on fire yesterday. And if that's not enough, we'll get to this in a bit. Salesforce was not only added to the Dow yesterday. Boy, I'll tell you what, people at Salesforce getting a double barrel ride today. Salesforce blew away earnings. And after the market yesterday, after the close of the market, on the day they get added to the Dow would be up about 200 points right now. Salesforce, it's not a member of the Dow yet. That's not effective yet. Salesforce is up $37 per share today, 17% CRM. This is a stock I used to own, and then it just went into a funk. It lost all of its momentum, and now guess what? Added to the Dow, broke out yesterday. It broke out yesterday, and today it's gapping higher, up 17%, $37 per share. On a huge earnings beat. Apple gets another price target, okay, after the fact. Well, actually, Wedbush is staying out in front of it. That's Dan Ives, who's one of the more well-known analysts that follows Apple. He's one of the experts on Apple, everything Apple. They're raising their target price from $515 to $600. Dollars per share. Apple is up 1.6% today. Apple is now above 500. It's $507 per share today, lighting up like a Christmas tree on this upgrade from Dan Ives. Apple is now a $2.1 trillion dollar company. And Dan Ives adds that, you know, you could make a case for a $700 target price. That's the bull case. That's just a reminder, Apple will split 4-for-1. That split is scheduled for August 31st. And, of course, all their target prices will be divided by 4. Otherwise, they'll look like idiots. Dick's Sporting Goods beats by $1.96. Well, they're the last man standing. There's only a couple others. There's Big Five and Hibbett and Dick's. And Dick's is the big one. They beat by $1.96. DKS, and I'm sure it's having a pretty good day. It's one of the bricks and mortar stocks that seems to be bucking the trend here, along with Best Buy. Best Buy's also bucking the trend. Best Buy's been breaking out recently to new highs, and Dick's is breaking out today to a 52-week high at $51. It's up 10.6% as people buying home gyms and all kinds of stuff for their home now that they're working from home, and that has helped Dick's Sporting Goods. Autodesk beats by 8 cents. That's another cloud stock for CAD/CAM software. It's not having a good day, however, down 4.4%. Nordstrom's, okay. There's the other side of the street. Okay. Ouch. Nordstrom's down, well, down 2% right now. But, you know, Nordstrom's is floundering. It's now a $2 billion company. It was a $77 stock back in 2015, and now it's a $15 stock as people buy sports coats, suits, three-piece suits from Italy on Instagram. You know, it's just a different world out there. No tailoring, anything. You get it. It fits like crap. But you saved a lot of money and it arrived on your doorstep. The sleeves may be a little too long. Nordstrom's $15 per share, down 2.5% today. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, you know, there's a definite theme emerging from today's show. I would say the cloud, big one. The cloud is now in the Dow. We've got a cloud, a major cloud stock in the Dow. And I'm seeing those cloud stocks doing really, really well today, of which I own several. And this whole business of online shopping on the internet, the Wayfairs, the Overstocks, the Amazons, now Big Commerce. Now, if you're subject to nosebleeds, you may not want to listen to my featured stock of the day. I own this stock despite a valuation that it's up there, to say the least. But what are you going to do? I mean, the stock has become a dominant monster in the market. It's one of the biggest winners of all time. I am in the process of creating a wall of fame, and I'm going to have a little plaque in my office here of all the huge winners that we have found at Gunderson Capital over the years. We try to find them as early as we can. We have made a ton of money in a company by the name of Shopify out of Canada, S-H-O-P. They reinvented the shopping mall to where it's all online. You, as a vendor or a shop owner, have the choice of renting a space and doing all the tenant improvements and paying the rent every month to the landlord and hoping the traffic coming by your shop or store is enough to bring in enough people to buy your product, or you can go on an online mall such as Shopify. The overhead's a lot lower. You can work from home, blah, 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 this and that. You don't have to hire a bunch of people to man the store while you're gone. And that is a very much a new dynamic that has taken over not only America, but the world. In fact, I talked to my friend that helped create the index, the online index, and from that they created the ETF iBuy. We're going to have them on sometime after Labor Day. That thing has $1 billion in it now, that ETF iBuy. And then there's XBuy, foreign companies that sell online. Well, I'm going to feature Shopify today, all right, which I own. It's a big position here at Gunderson Capital Management. It served us very well. Shopify is now $1,065 per share. It went public at 12 in 2015. It's now a $122 billion company. $122 billion company. They're profitable. But it's trading right now at a forward P.E. ratio of 475. 475. Now compare that with Simon Property Group. Simon Property Group owns bricks and mortar malls across America. Shopify owns that mall in the sky, that mall in the clouds, 470 times forward earning P.E. ratio. PEG ratio, 14.64. But here's what the stock has done. Over the last 12 months, it's up 166%. Over the last 5 years, it's delivered to investors an average of 108%. That means doubling every year, 108% per year for 5 years now. While it's been averaging 108% per year, the market's been averaging 11.6% per year. Has it entered into momentum territory? It did that a long time ago. The stock is currently ranked number 40 in the Best Stocks Now app. 1 year ago, how valuable is the BestStocksNowApp.com? 1 year ago today, the stock was ranked number 12 out of 5,300. And what has it done since then? Up 167%, while the S&P is up 20%. The process is, as soon as I hear about a new stock, a company that has filed for an IPO or whatnot, I keep a list. And when that company goes public, it goes into the app. I usually try to learn the story, too, as early on as possible. Shopify came with a lot of publicity behind it. Not massive, but it was a pretty well-known stock that was IPOing back in 2015. I kept my eye on it, and pretty soon I started to see the analysts gushing all over it. The Motley Fool was calling it the next Amazon, and the more I looked into their model, the more I liked it. And it's been a very big winner for us here at Gunderson Capital. It's not a dividend payer. When it becomes a dividend payer, it'll be like Macy's, you know. It's all over when they start paying a dividend. Not that I got anything against dividend payers, but, you know, that's just a different life cycle that a company is in when they start to pay a dividend. They're not growing at 50, 60%, 100% anymore. Here's Shopify's last four quarters, and I'll end with this. Well, their most recent quarter, their sales were up 97%. They doubled. And their earnings were up 950%. So we'll make Shopify. Where is it ranked today? Shopify is ranked number 40 out of 5,320. Well, anyways, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, toll-free number anywhere in America. Talk to one of my advisors here. We're watching the presidential elections, the presidential polls. We're unconstrained. We can act accordingly. Either way, it's a money-making opportunity depending on how you handle it. But you've got to have an active money manager who can also protect on the downside. You can give us a call again at 855-611-BEST. How have we done through what has been a crazy pandemic year? Take a look at our portfolios from the bond portfolio on up to the Premier Growth. Get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. It has all five of our portfolios there in it. I publish them every single week for my clients, and of course I have the live trading subscription for all you do DIY guys and gals, do-it-yourselfers. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.